but there is a movement to improve the level of training around the country. What do you think we can do to make it more consistent? Let's first start with Fred.
Well, first of all, the question, Nick, is what we're talking about in this incident, is this something new? No, it isn't something new. As you know that I've been around now, this is our 25th anniversary, and I founded this organization based on these kind of incidents. The thing that's new about it is we hear something in Corpus Christi, Texas, probably 2 hours after it happened. Why? Because everybody has a video camera today. We got cell phones, we have the internet, so we know about these situations. The amazing thing about it is for 25 years I've been out here preaching, creating educational programs with 3,000 chapters across the country. Is anybody listening? No, because you heard what the previous guy said there, Josephson. It's almost a justification that, hey, we have to have volunteers, and at that level they can basically do whatever they want. That's the problem. The people that create the problem is us. We, the taxpayers. You look at every community across America, and you'll see ball fields. We ride by them and say, isn't that nice? The Parks and Recreation Department built those facilities for baseball and football and et cetera. And yet the Parks and Rec Departments, their hands are tied because the good old boy system allows for Al Jackson to come in, and Al Jackson, all due respects to plumbers, my son-in-law is a plumber, all due respects to that, he runs the youth football league for probably 800 kids. No wonder we have the problem. Nobody's held accountable. Nobody says that you cannot have these facilities unless you go through orientation, and we're going to hold you and your league accountable. Nobody does that except a few organizations across America. And until
John Neighbor,
they do...
What about-
It's over.
What about insurance companies and the incentive that they could provide by saying, we will give you a better insurance rate for youth sports if you take these steps, if you show that you are making the commitment at a deeper level to be preventative medicine? You hear it all the time, that if we could only get insurance companies to value preventative acts so that the larger issues and the larger expenses never take place.
You know, Nick, I'm going to ask you if you're willing to at least entertain a completely contradictory thought. I don't think
Sure.
we need more supervision. I think we need less. I look at the videotape of a bunch of 4- and 5-year-olds wearing helmets and pads running around, and their coaches yelling at them, telling them where to stand. When I was 4 and 5, I used to play pickup ball, and there wasn't an adult in sight. And the play, the fun that was to be had was something that we had to generate ourselves. Now I see parents on the sidelines who are really using this developmental period to hopefully get their kids a scholarship, the cover of a Wheaties box, and a professional contract. And I think that's one of the main problems, is that there's so much emphasis placed on the performance itself, not on the learning and the opportunity to enjoy yourself, the fun that's involved. I think that an insurance company would be wise to say, you know what, let's just leave the adults out of it. Let the kids play. You know, and I think there's some thought worth considering there.
Nick, let me give you an answer to that.
Fred, let me just jump in here for a second. I talked to the coaches at KU, the women's team, and they said when they asked the players to practice on their own in the off season, they found that the players almost uniformly didn't know how to do that. They had never had unscheduled, unsupervised time. They had never learned to develop their own schemes, their own practice philosophy, their own discipline as well. So I agree to some degree that in addition to the formal games themselves, that we have to also create some mechanism where kids learn to think for themselves. The problem is, of course, at 5 and 6 years of age, you worry, and parents worry sometimes unnecessarily. But parents worry, of course, my kid doesn't know how to think for him or herself, so, you know, I need to be there.
I think parents worry that my kid won't learn to play the way I taught him if I'm not there to encourage him. And I think that's putting the excellence of the play ahead of the learning curve of the child.
Nick, let me go back to a point that you made before.
Sure.
About insurance. We did that probably 15 years ago with that same idea, saying go to an insurance company and they'll give all these leagues a discount. Well, guess what? It doesn't work, because the leagues really didn't care about that. The problem goes much, much deeper. What John is talking about is what anybody would call, now that's common sense. Why do we have to have adult control for these 5- and 6-year-old and 8- and 9-year-old kids who only come out for the social reason for it? John, you may be interested to know that through all of my frustration of all of this, we have now gone internationally where now we have a program called Game On Youth Sports in Africa, Mexico, in Asia, and soon to be in Europe, and it's based on what you just said. Give the kids the opportunity to learn the basic skills of catching, throwing, kicking, hitting, and then let them go out and play on their own and enjoy sports and be creative. That's what we need to do. And ironically, when that's a success, we'll bring it back to the U.S. and say, look, it works everywhere in the world except here.